All right, Investor Plus is officially live, and it's everything you've been waiting for.
We're talking AI power networking to connect you with other investors who are serious about building their portfolio, not just dreaming about it.
You'll get access to Market Master Her, our step-by-step ebook that'll help you master any market, and an on-demand real estate fundamentals course that'll help you build your confidence. And nationwide chapter access, exclusive discounts worth over $6,000, and a 21-day meditation guide because, hey, balance is key. Managing rental properties can be completely overwhelming. But what if there's a way to streamline your rental portfolio so you save time and money and reduce stress? Today, we are joined by Stephanie Cabral, a buy and hold investor from Connecticut, who has managed to build a thriving portfolio of 21 doors. In this episode, we walk through a step-by-step approach so you can streamline your operations and know exactly what to automate, what to delegate, and what to outsource. You cannot miss this episode. Welcome to the Investor Podcast. I'm Liz Faircloth.
And I am your co-host, Andressa Gadelli.
So Stephanie, so good to have you here today. While so many investors are obsessed with buying more properties, right, adding more doors, you really focus on streamlining your operations as the number one priority. I'd love to know, how has this impacted your journey to financial freedom?
Yeah. And thank you so much for having me, Liz. It's always fun to talk to you. So I was super excited to be on today. I think my priority has always been using real estate as a tool for freedom. When I first got started, I didn't know that I was investing. All I learned was that I bought a duplex so that somebody else would pay for my mortgage, right? It was a strategy to eliminate a very expensive cost in my life. And that philosophy really hasn't changed, honestly. So as I've grown, I would love to have been growing faster and accumulating more doors. But what I recognized is more doors doesn't solve my problem. My goal is not a unit count. My goal is freedom. And so I could maximize what I was doing with my units and actually hit freedom a lot faster. So, I really focused on just optimizing the portfolio, self-managing, bringing property management in-house so that I had not only more control and transparency over my portfolio, but also just saved myself thousands of dollars a month, which expedited my journey. So, you know, being able to have everything in-house and streamline allowed me to get to the point of leaving my W-2 job, I would say, faster than I would have if my goal was a certain unit count. So I've been thrilled with that philosophy that started really out of necessity, but has carried me forward for 12 years now and has allowed me to leave my job and spend my time in a more creative place now, which is really just the best reward that I could have gotten from this portfolio.
I love that. So let's go back to when you began then, because, you know, in a lot of ways, operational efficiency isn't something that, like, you get to a certain point, like, oh, I'm at 20 doors. Now I need to become operationally efficient. It's really something that you need to have ideally in your business throughout the process. Now, some people are running their portfolios that way. Some are not. So if you're listening to this right now, you probably have a part of your business, part of your investing portfolio that you're like, you know what? This could be a little more efficient. And there's probably a lot of pieces of the puzzle. So I really want to break that down on today's episode with you from kind of A to Z. So let's go back to your first property. It was that duplex.
Yeah.
So walk us through where you became very operationally efficient. Even if you want to go from not there.
Okay. It was not there. No. So I was working full-time. And then I also, so I was underemployed at the time, and to supplement, so I was working the hours, but not the paycheck. So to supplement, I took on a job as a commercial agent. So I really had two full-time jobs, and I was starting to buy properties at the same time, and they're all BRRRR deals. So they're all, you know, renovations, they're all rentals. So there's a lot going on. So I started to really focus on just documenting my processes. I read The E-Myth by Michael Gerber and understood the power of documentation of the systems, your standard operating procedures, so your SOP. So my systems and processes were pretty good, but what I was finding is I would do them once and then I wouldn't do something again for another 6 months or 3 years. And I had to relearn the process. And I was like, that doesn't work. So I really started to focus on documenting the processes and every step when I started accumulating and was also working those two jobs. And I was just like really overwhelmed with all of my administrative tasks and all of the big things that were happening in the business. So once I started accumulating, I was good with the documentation, but it wasn't until I started tackling midterm rentals that I really got focused on adding automation and delegation into the mix. So before then, I was the one that was still managing everything. And you know, my documentation was good. I could follow these steps. They were predictable. They were repeatable, but I was still doing everything. So I started to dabble actually before the midterm rental. I started to dabble with hiring a virtual assistant just to eliminate the lowest repetitive task, right? So I have a very low tolerance for repetitive action. So in Connecticut, we can't take the water bill out of the property owner's name. So the water bill is always in my name. And even though for my single family rentals, the tenants are responsible for the water bill, they're in my name. So I didn't want to make the tenants actually pay the water bill directly, because if they didn't, that would affect my credit, right? So I had a virtual assistant go in every month, look at the water bills and add it to their invoice. It was just a really good gateway into like, wow, somebody else can do these tasks for me and they get done. All I have to do is tell them how to do it. They follow the steps. So I had dabbled, seen success there. But once I started in the midterm rental space, I took on a property where I was renting 4 bedrooms by the room. So I had a lot of turnover happening and really needed to manage the communications and just organizing the cleaners. And at that point, I had given myself a job. And so I really started to focus on automating the messaging, automating the tasks. I brought a virtual assistant in-house. So she's 20 hours a week with me. And she basically does all of the things that that automation can't do. She does the delegation of like the nooks and crannies. And at that point, my business really became very hands-off for me. So it was all out of necessity that I took these on and built them up. But I wish that I had started all of that,
even earlier,
because
with your long-term,
rentals. And so I always tell people that, you know, this is really my message that I share with a lot of mentees or people that I network with is putting systems and processes in place. And people are like, well, I only have one property. So, you know, why do I need that? I just collect rent off of Venmo. I'm like, that's not scalable, right? You can't add a zero to your unit count and still do what you're doing. And if you start to grow, you're going to have to go backwards and undo all your bad habits. So I love the idea of people starting early with their portfolio growth, implementing great systems and processes at the very beginning so that it's scalable and they don't have headaches of backing up and undoing all of their bad habits.
I love that. I want to ask so many different questions, and I want to ask these in particular for people that are not systems and processes type of people, right? Because I talk a lot about this on the show and have forever, as different personalities, right, gravitate to different pieces of the business, right? So especially for either, whether you're an SOP type of person and you love creating documentation or you don't, there is a process to this. And it is something you don't have to do alone. So let's break this down. So you started streamlining your operations when you had your long-term rentals on your BRRRR properties, which for anyone listening that's not familiar with BRRRR, it's really buying, you're renovating, you're refinancing, you're renting it, and then you're repeating this process. It's the classic undervalued property that you're putting the value in and being able to refinance and pull that money out and do
equity
it over again.
Recapture strategy.
Yep. I mean, it's a tried and true strategy, something that really helped us build our portfolio as well, me and my husband. So, but let's go back to this. So you start documenting. So walk us through what that looks like. Let's break that down, because the person listening may have zero properties. They may have 5 to 10 properties. And I know you are a pod mentor for the women in Strive who are doing 5 to 10 deals. And what's fascinating with so many of those women, and I'm sure you know, they don't have the systems and processes in place, but yet they want to buy more, or they even have the capital to buy more. So for those women, 0 to 10 properties, right? Walk me through, or 1 to 10, I should say, they have a property or more. They don't have maybe a million. They have up to 10. What is that first step when they look at their portfolio? What should they do from a documentation perspective? Like, what is the first thing they should do?
Yeah, we actually just had this call in our pod the other day, and it was just so well received.
I saw the woman raving about it in our private Facebook group.
They loved it, which was great. So I think the most important part is, like, where do you store your documentation, right? Because you want to have easy reference to it. You want it to be buildable. You want it to be easily searchable. So I love storing mine in a Google Drive, and it's a Google Sheet in Google Drive, right? So the SOP itself will have a hyperlink because it's stored in Google Drive. So really easy to access. You can bookmark throughout, so you can actually have hyperlinks to specific sections, and you can create an outline format. So for me, I'm highly visual. I need things to be very organized, not just brain dump. So I love the outline format. And the Google Sheets structure allows you to create a table of contents at the beginning. Again, hyperlinks to the individual sections, easily searchable with just like a, you know, the search control find option. And then I like to have that outline format of all your big departments and then the processes within the departments. So when you're first starting and you don't, you know, you've just got this blank document in front of you, I think you first are going to start by adding your departments.
It's a really good way of saying it. Even if you're a one man, a lot of women that we serve, right, in our community are solopreneurs. You have business departments. So continue. That's a great point.
Yeah. And I mean, you may be the person in every department right now, but that's temporary, right? We talk about in the pod, elevating outside of the seat that you're sitting in right now. So you might be the CEO and janitor, right? But at some point you need to just be elevating above that lowest level seat. So I think it's important to structure everything that you have as future proofing. So like right now you're doing all the departments, but you need to still separate them out because you will not be every department in the future. So I start with the different departments, and then there's individual processes within those departments. And I like to, the core structure, the meat of the SOP is what I create a 3-column chart. And from left to right, it gets more and more specific. On the left, it's what to do. In the middle, it's how to do it. On the right, it's notes and resources. So all the way on the left, it's what to do, which is your high-level chronology, just the individual steps. If you were to brain dump, how do you lease it? How do you post a property on Zillow, right? It would be like, step one, fill it out. Step two,
Ask you a question too. Are your departments basically really assessing the kind of like the life cycle of what you're doing? Because like in a sense, right, you're buying a property, you're closing on a property, you're then renovating the property, the tenant.
There's marketing. Yep. Marketing, finance.
How do you structure your departments? Do you do it by like the life cycle of the strategy you're doing, or are you just literally like marketing, finance? Like how do you do it?
Yeah. So I wouldn't say it's the life cycle of the strategy. I would say there's the high level topics, right? So finance is one, but finance has a lot of roles. Finance might be heavy in the acquisition side. Finance might be heavy in the rent collection side. So finance will have multiple steps, but like I typically use finance to be refis or acquisitions. And then we'll have operations, which might be like maintenance. And then management is probably the largest section where it will have, you know, management has those maintenance with preventative maintenance as one topic, responsive maintenance as another topic, right? So acquisitions, dispositions, operations, finance. We also have a section for like onboarding VAs. Even though I haven't onboarded in a while, I still need to remember how to set up her email and how to give her a phone number, right? Because I did it once and I don't want to have to figure it out again. So that is, I think, the biggest part when you're doing, when you're building out your SOP, you don't have to have all of those very specific features filled out. Just brain dump as you're doing it. Like, yeah, this is the order. So you fill out that left-hand column. This is the order that I do that. And then when you start to get more comfortable and you know, like, this is the website I use. This is the field that I need to filter, or this is the selection that I toggle. That's in that middle column of like how to do it. Then when you're really good and you can demonstrate it to others, you're taking Loom videos, you're taking screenshots and showing, that's in the notes and resources. And that's also where links to your checklists and templates, all of that goes in that highly specific notes and resources section. So you get, you really, really drill down. And that's the meat of it. But I also like to have, you know, a section that just gives the context for the process. So when was it created? Who was it created by? Who was the last person to touch it? And what status is it in? And what is the purpose, right? If the purpose is, you know, the purpose of this task is to show you how to create a new task in your SOP, right? That's going to be, that's going to set the stage for what somebody's learning when they watch it.
Let me ask you this. This is the doc you're referring to, like what to do, how to do it, and then notes and resources. You're saying what to do is even, you're even saying you're delineating how to train my VA to set up her email. Is that, is beyond just the business. What do
I do? Oh yeah, definitely. It's all aspects of what we do in the business, which includes bringing on virtual assistants. And it might, I mean, I haven't had to let a virtual assistant go. But when I do, I'll build out the SOP for that piece too. You know, we have bookkeeping prep. So she handles all of my filing. So we have a very specific structure of, if the document is this, you file it here and you file it here and you update it here, right? All of that is built out. And that's not leasing specific, right? That's business specific. So I cover everything. It's not just the life cycle of a tenant. It's how does my business run?
If you are someone who is just not going to think about all those things, what can you do? Like what should be your strategy? Because I'm thinking like ChatGPT is a great resource for honestly, for so many things. But I would also imagine, I've never actually built an SOP that way. But I would imagine it could be useful or helpful, number one. And number two, do you also lean on the VA to be more operationally focused, where they're doing more of that with you and for you? And just how do you navigate this and what you're saying that detailed if you're someone who wouldn't naturally think of that? I wouldn't naturally think of what you just said. There's no way.
Yeah. Well, so the Strive girls have gotten a leg up because I actually gave them the template of the structure. It gives them the video instructions of how to do it. So like if you're in Strive already, then know that that's available to you through our pod. Okay. You just get the template, right? You don't have to think of anything. If you are starting from scratch, I think, you know, having your own outline is helpful, but certainly prompt ChatGPT for what are the departments I need, right?
Sure. Absolutely.
Give me the department titles and then give me the process. You're going to have to fill in, right? If you're focused on note lending versus mobile home parks versus short-term rentals, your processes are going to be totally different. Your departments are going to be different. Detailer it to you. There are tools that can help you as well build out your processes. So if you're doing something, but you just don't have the documentation, there are AI tools like Scribe and Tango are tools that actually track what you're doing on your computer. They'll take screenshots, editable titles. You know, I think those are good for when what you're doing is specific to the computer. But a lot of times our processes, like if I've got a make ready, you know, my process is not limited to my computer. It's making sure that there's a pre-move out walkthrough. It's making sure that the scope of work is filled out. It's getting quotes from the vendors. That's not online, right? So those are things where you need to fill it out yourself. But for little processes like adding the water bills to the tenant's invoice, that's absolutely something that can be covered by those tools. And then I think you just start to build your processes slowly. Again, you don't have to have the really specific Loom videos and all that at day one. Just start with that brain dump of like the chronology of what you're doing, so you don't miss a step in the future. That is a success. And I think that a lot of times we get hung up on, okay, the end goal is this really amazing detailed document that Steph has, but I didn't start there, right? That's taken me a long time to build that out. And I was thrilled when I looked back and just saw like, oh, I totally forgot to file my, the condition report when the tenant sent it back to me after they moved in. Totally forgot to file that. Thank goodness that that's just a line item in my what to do on the what to do side, right? So count your successes as they come and then you build. You're just, everybody's on a journey.
I think you're making a great point. It's one thing to have at least a process, like, what do I do? I love what you said. Like, what do I do? How do I do it? And then notes and resources, even by department, right? So then it's delineated, it's structured, it's clear. It's one thing to have that and go, shoot, I forgot that piece. Let me add it, versus not even adding it anywhere. And it's in your head and it's not on paper, right? No SOP or process is ever going to be perfect, nor should it. There's always going to be this like upkeep process, maybe like quarterly or twice a year or once a year. You're like, what do I need to add to this? And that's every business, because our businesses are evolving. But to not have anything and not to be putting it anywhere and literally just in your head, I always say this, you should be running your portfolio as though you are going to potentially like die next week. And I hate to be so morbid and sad, but if you don't do it that way, then you're not going to be able to set anyone up for success, especially if you're self-managing, even more so, right? Because it's all you. So these conversations are so important. And I want those listening to really dig deep and get to the why this is so important, because the how is not as complex as we make it. Mm-hmm. Even for someone like me, who's not as SOP oriented, I like to say it's not. I mean, you literally with ChatGPT, you really can create a lot of this and then fill in the blanks, get a good team member to help you fill in the blanks. It's not rocket science, but so many people don't do it until it's too late. And so that's the piece here too. We want you to dig deep to say, what is that why? To put some up, even if you're like, you hear operational efficiency and you like your hair on your neck goes up, you're like, I just want to go find a new deal. You know, I just want to go, you know, and so stop yourself. What is your why? And I think, Stephanie, what you've built is a why where for 7 months you can go, travel to a different location. What is that why for you that you're listening and saying, all right, I need to do this because of X, Y, and Z, and feel that excitement of the why versus the operational efficiency, because the tools are there to help you now more than ever. I mean, especially when we started, there are so many tools that you have a leg up. So I just wanted to say that, because even tactically, if you tell people what to do, they'll listen to this episode and then they'll go back to their life and not make a change. And that's not what we stand for with the investor community. We want you to make a change. We want you to be inspired enough to take one action today to put more processes in place. I don't know what you'd say to that, Stephanie. I'm on my high horse talking now.
No, I want to get on the high horse too, because we talk a lot about how it's really easy to avoid focusing on your operations because it sits in the back and, you know, you don't realize that you're not tracking your finances until once a year in tax time when you realize like, oh, I haven't filed any receipts or whatever, or, hey, it's been a couple years since I've looked at raising rents or, you know, whatever it may be. The cost of not focusing on this, and we call it shining the light on the dark places in your business, right? It's so easy.
Say that again, Stephanie.
In our pod, we shine the light on the dark places of our business, the places where you don't want to look. It's better to just keep them in the drawer. But the cost of doing that is so high. The stress, the lack of transparency, even just putting good processes in place to make your life better in the future. So I talk a lot about how, you know, people come with pain points of like, a really good example of my own business was I was having very expensive turnover And I couldn't understand why my turnover was so expensive. And I realized my solution was many steps earlier in my pipeline. Implementing better processes at the screening point allowed me to reduce my turnover expenses later. So I introduced video walkthroughs. So I basically looked at every tenant's home, kind of surprised them. So it's a very candid walkthrough. I saw how they lived, and I've been able to filter based on how they keep their property, right? And that saved me so much money and time on the move out process. So when you focus on those parts that are painful, recognizing it's the solution is usually just better processes.
I love that. And it's a great place to even start, or, you know, as you're documenting the departments and even by department, not to do it all at once because it gets overwhelming, but like even just one department, one pain point, start there. It's a great place to start. It's a doable place to start versus like revamping everything simultaneously. It's completely overwhelming. So you want to start simple.
Wait, I want to also just jump in on that. So pain points, yes, but also the lowest value task is the easiest thing to systemize, right? Like the water bills that I was talking about. It is absolutely mindless. It is very easy to document. It is very easy to delegate. Start there if you're just really overwhelmed, and that will help you gain some confidence with building your SOP and take something off your plate, free up your mental space a little bit.
I love that. I want to get back to automations with your midterm rentals. You talked a lot about how you did more automations with that particular strategy versus your long-term, and you wish you had done it on your long-term. So what was the one thing that you automated? Tell us a little about, was there a tool? Was there some sort of tech involved? So everyone listening could automate more.
Yeah. Automation almost always involves technology. You know, some people say, oh, automate things and give it to someone else. That is not automation. That's delegation, right? Automation is having a tool run a process for you. So the thing that was most important to me was sending out the access codes on the right day at the right time. And that always had to happen no matter what was going on in my life. And so I couldn't have me being responsible for it. If I wanted to be at the beach or with friends or at lunch, I couldn't be sending out the code. So for me, I just started, okay, if that is one thing, there's also so many other messages, all those messages leading up to moving in and, you know, during the application process. Good communication makes you look amazing, makes the tenant feel comfortable, right? It just makes you a great landlord. So I started automating a lot of the messages. There are tools, Guesty, Hospitable, that focus on automation for short-term rentals. I know a lot of midterm operators also use these. I use Podio because I've used Podio to manage all of my processes, my long-term rentals. So it makes sense for me to use Podio for my midterm rentals as well. So this is something that I've built out over the years. It's automated messaging, task management, and I call it really like portfolio management. So it tracks the work orders and make readies. It tracks, it's a vendor CRM. Like how many times do you need a plumber? And you're like, you're searching through your phone for plumber. Instead, you can just go to this CRM and filter by plumber, right? Like I think it's really important to do that. So I use Podio. It's not an entry-level tool. It's something that I've built out over years, but the concept of the automated messaging is the same. But I also love that it automates tasks for me as well. So when someone's approved to move in, my VA gets a task to add the code to their door, right? I don't have to do that. I just see that it's done, it's checked off, and then the messaging automatically sends it to the guest the day of move-in, right? Like that all happens. It's set up weeks in advance, but it all happens on the date and time that it should. So we get to show the tenant, tomorrow at 2:15 p.m., you're going to get an email with the code. And then at 2:15 p.m., they get an email with the code. So they just feel very secure moving in. And I feel very secure because I don't have to be doing it.
I'm curious with Guesty. I'm familiar with Podio. I've used it in the past. Podio could be used for any industry, and it's amazing. One of those amazing types of programs. But if you, you know, if you're hearing this and saying, okay, I could use, can I use something like a, like you're saying, Guesty or what was the other one?
Hospitable, I believe.
Hospitable.
Is the other one. I don't use them, but those are the names.
But those are tools or strategies, if you will. I was going to say tools that you can use. Do they have templates? Or, hey, you can automate this for that. Like, is there, I think that's also part of sometimes the idea of the gap for people in automation is that A, they don't know what they can automate, and B, they don't have like the templates to kind of utilize. So they're not literally starting from scratch. Because quite honestly, if you have a midterm rental or a short-term rental or a long-term rental, there's really things that you should be automating, and it's what people do. It's not like, well, wow, you're the first person that's going to need to automate an access code. It's not unique to you. So are some of these systems set up to give you those templates? I know you're not as familiar with these two, but
yeah,
I think that's important as well for people to look for.
I'm sure that they are. I don't know because I haven't used them.
Sure.
But one of the things that we talk about in the pod is when you take on a new technology, and even when you're interviewing these technologies.
Yeah.
Do the demos, watch the instructional videos, take the time to learn what's there so that you can use all the resources that are available to you rather than try to start from scratch and recognize, like I use TurboTenant for my rent collection platform. They have templates, they've got leases, they've got all sorts of documentation. I don't necessarily use them, but I know that they're available and I can modify them if I want. I'm actually working to deploy my version of Podio. This portfolio platform is deployable to others and it's completely modifiable. They can go in and look at the language of the emails. All the workflows are there. They can look at the language of the emails. They can look at the spacing, the triggers, the dates. They can modify all of that. We've got links to like, look at this one, look at this one. You should make sure that you approve of these. So the template is the template for the whole workflow of both long-term and midterm and vendor management. All of that
stuff awesome.
Is in there. So
that's great.
That would be a tool for people as well.
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, so what I love about you, Stephanie, is that everything we're talking about, you're literally doing within, you know, Strive with the women in our program. And really it's about managing their systems, their processes. I'm curious from a mentor perspective, what have you seen to be some of the breakthroughs? Because you've seen women start with you that are like, oh, I don't want to do systems and processes. And by the end of that 6-month cycle, they're implementing these processes and systems. So I want everyone listening to hear very, very, very clearly what the impact, if they start to put systems and processes in place, what kind of impact that could look like. So I'm curious to see what you've seen from a mentor perspective to inspire everyone listening.
It's been amazing. You know, the pods are half a year. They're not that long. So to see the growth in that short period of time is absolutely phenomenal. I push my women very hard. My pod is a lot of work. But what I've really seen them do is implement great infrastructure into their business so that they're more sound. So it's the digital filing system that they use. Also creating good internet boundaries. So password managers and virtual mailboxes so that this is something that blows everybody's mind, where a lot of women, you know, they use their, not just women, investors, they use their home address, right? We're self-employed. We work at home. We use our home address on all documents, including eviction documents. How uncomfortable is that, right? To know that the person you're evicting has your home address. So we've really tried to implement digital boundaries so that you can operate safely, efficiently, remotely. Women have, from the pod, they've taken on virtual assistants. They've built out their SOPs. So now their virtual assistants are processing and doing the processes as if they were the woman in the seat. It's really amazing to say like how much time has been offloaded to others. And I'm just so proud of the grit and the focus that they've contributed to get to those steps. Cause they take time and you're already, you know, your life is full. But I think everyone has been so dedicated to their processes. And I'm really impressed with what they've done.
I love that. And that's something that we really focus on in Strive. And for those listening, Strive is our mentorship program for women who've done 5 to 10 deals or more and that are growing, but they're growing by themselves, right? They're at that point where they're a solopreneur and they really need to or want to grow a business, not just grow a portfolio. And they, to do that, right, the systems, the processes, and all the different things we have going on with Strive to really help women up-level them and playing at the level of everyone in Strive to really live the life they want on their own terms. That's what we stand for. So we'll put some information in the show notes about Strive for those listening who that fits the bill. There's an application and all that good stuff. But Stephanie, you've added so much insight and not just insight, but knowledge and also tactical, doable steps, just like in this interview. Because everyone listening, you could do one thing to improve the systems and processes in your business. Literally just take one thing away from today. I think it would make such an impact. So this has been great. Stephanie, where can everyone listening learn more about you?
Yeah. So Facebook, you can follow me, Stephanie Cabral, and I'm also on The Lean Landlord on Facebook and Instagram. So that'd be great. And Liz, I think you have the links for all my bios that you can add in.
We'll get that all in the show notes. Stephanie, thank you so much for being on. Thank you for all that you do for our Strive, mentees and in the investor community. We appreciate you very much.
The feeling's mutual. Thanks, Liz.
If you enjoyed this podcast and want to receive updates on our next interviews, go to our website, therealestateinvestor.com. There, you can subscribe to our show, become part of our investor community, and get updates on upcoming episodes.
If you like our show, please share it with other women who would benefit. And don't forget to leave us a rating on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. And as always, we encourage you to take one action as a result of today's show and put it into motion so you can live both a financially free and balanced life. Thanks for spending time with us.
Ciao.